Well, joining us once again for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Good morning.
How are you?
Not so bad.
Okay, good news.
Been
good
watching you this morning, all the trouble in Lille and Lens last night.
Yeah, I think there's been certainly a fair bit of trouble over in France from a fair few nations, I think. But I don't know. Do you think the media maybe go too hard on what the violence rather than focusing on some of the good things that are happening? Is it just too much of the bad press?
Well, I mean, I was watching Sky yesterday, and I was very, very disappointed because basically the three big stories of the day. There was a little boy searching for him in Florida, taken by an alligator, and all banging on and banging on. Fairly obviously been eaten by the croc, at least killed. So why that had to occupy, you know, several hours of viewing, I don't know. Then we had to listen to an Australian crocodile expert in Darwin, Australia, telling us about crocodile habits. Then we had to listen to all the football violence. There's all the football violence. Is that all there is going on in the world? In the middle of a referendum. Remember, of course, we inevitably had to see Mr. Osborne in a high-vis jacket and a white hat to show you don't need a Chancellor Exchequer because he's never in the office, but that's another story. So I think that, I do think the violence has been overemphasised, and it's not helped by interviewing incoherent drunkards who are burbling away and you can't hear what they're trying to say anyway. Well, let's concentrate a bit on the football. Of course, the great thing is that with Wales beating Russia, with a bit of luck, Russia might not qualify. That'll solve UEFA's problem. Russia will go home anyway. Mind you, if we don't perform a bit better than we have done in the opening match, we'll be following them and have a nice, peaceful 2016.
We'll touch on more on the Euros in a second, and especially on Russia as well. Let's turn our attention to Leeds United. Massimo Cellino has apparently claimed Leeds United's transfer business is being held up. Apparently, there's some small problems with shareholders. Now, obviously, we know one of those shareholders, GFH, quite well.
If we go back a little bit, then everything was on hold until they had a board meeting a couple of weeks ago. So I would have thought everything that needed to be resolved would have resolved then. And then now here we are, halfway through June. We've got more than just passing halfway through June. And we have another board meeting next week to discuss the squad, which seems to me that it's the usual story of GFH not wanting to put any money up. I mean, now don't forget, this is the group which got to flip it, because they hadn't got any money despite all their protests to the contrary, and eventually brought in Cellino, but they kept us significant stake so they can be creative with the valuation to improve their own balance sheet. But the thing is, they haven't got any money. They put very little in. They put invoices in, but not necessarily for doing the work, but for management fees and that kind of stuff. And that's one of the things that Massimo had such a long negotiation to try and resolve. But the fact of the matter is, if he wants to build the team, his attitude is, well, I've got 70-odd% of the company, let the others put their shares up pro rata. Or even, since GFH is supposed to be a bank, but I think I doubt it is a bit more than a food bank, frankly, they should make a loan to Leeds to help make it great again. All the things they said they were going to do, they're going to buy the ground, they're going to do this, do that, do the other. But you know, they did bugger all. Except run up legal bills and sack staff and pay them off for wrongful dismissal. So that is the dilemma. Meanwhile, they sold McCormack, got 11 for him. Sold Byram, got 3.8 for him. And now there's a suggestion that some of the rest of the young crop will be going before long. Well, that's okay, but where's the money going to? How's it? Where they going? Why sell Charlie Taylor and Lewis Cook anyway? They're great for the future of the club. They should be kept here at Elland Road and playing in the first team because they're good players. But again, we seem to be staggering from. You got a manager in. Doesn't know all his backroom staff yet. Probably hasn't had time yet to see any players. So we're just stumbling from one deadline to another. Nothing being resolved. I mean, this is the time in the summer when you sell the club. You know, you shout over the rooftops, what are you going to do? And you make efforts and announce this and announce that. And everybody gets excited and in a genuine, optimistic mood looking for the first game of the season. But nothing coming out of Elland Road. And Massimo got some advisors. He said, listen to them and get things done. Get things moving. On the other hand, the fans have got to stop their anti-Chileno chanting and encourage him to want to spend money. So we can only stand and wait.
Certainly can, KB. Going back to Euro 2016, and there's obviously we've talked a little bit about the trouble that's been happening over there in France, and quite a lot of it involving England, but a lot involving Russia. And there's a lot of calls now that maybe Russia should be stripped of the World Cup in 2018. I know a lot of people don't really fancy going over to Russia to watch a World Cup there now.
I think at the moment I'd rather go to Bahrain to watch a World Cup than go to Russia. But, you know, I think of Bahrain. I think we need to put a bit of a background. When the first trouble started in Marseille, I'm surprised they chose Marseille as a venue anyway, because I can remember the situation there when Chelsea played there in the Champions League a few years ago. It's a very funny city. It's an entry port, for want of a better phrase, for all the old French African colonies, such as Tunisia, Algeria, and then further down, I think Senegal was one of them in the old days. And so that's always been a very, very multiracial city. With, unfortunately, a good collection of the dregs that don't get any further than that. And even Marseille's football club, is tickets are controlled by four different gangs of mafia who have a bit more say in money of Marseille than the owners and the directors do. So it was a peculiar location. But then when you looked at the performance, you saw that the Russians were pre-prepared and organised. And a signal, they all took their tops off and revealed black shirts. Some of them put on black masks and black hats. They were there for trouble. They were there for fighting. And what has surprised me is that although English fans have been arrested and sentenced to jail, haven't seen any Russians. Now, without being kind, it's fairly obvious if you want to have a fight, you've got to have someone to fight. I don't think the English fans are fighting each other. And last night, I don't think the Welsh and the English were fighting each other. I think if the English and Scots were there, that might have been given a bit of aggro, because we've seen that at Wembley. And may vary a bit with the Republic of Ireland, with the IRA and all that stuff, but that's all past now. So I think on balance of probabilities, we have to assume that there was Russian involvement. We have to ask ourselves, speech about me, not dealing about Russia. UEFA threatened to ban England and Russia from the 2016 World Tournament, provided if there's any more trouble. Maybe there was a certain amount of goading by the Russians to try and get the English thrown out. But fortunately, Wales did the business and beat Russia, which was a pleasant surprise. There's a good chance that Russia will go out of natural causes. But again, going on to 2018, they're very slow at FIFA, or the anti-corruption investigators, find out what actually went on, why Russia got 2018, and indeed why Qatar got 2022. But I think we want the information. It should be there. And there's serious reservations. And the Russian government, I think, has to, or the Russian FA, which really is, if you like, an all the name is the Russian government anyway, they have to present very urgently a game plan on how they will manage the 2018 World Cup to ensure that there's no trouble at all. Otherwise, you're going to have very serious trouble in 2018. It's unfortunate that they'll be saying very much about it. After all, if all the big wigs are in France for this season tournament, ideal times of sitting around a table with a bottle of champagne and a bottle of vodka discussing what they're going to do together, work together. It seems at the moment a total lack of coordination, which is very worrying.